You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Okay, what's up?
You going to jail?
What's up, nigga?
You going to jail?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Dream Team is in the house. This is Podcast Juice, a.k.a. FreedomTrainOnline.com. My name is Michael Dean. It's been a minute since we've done a show. New place, new site, new studio, all that is different. So we're just going to get into it. But before I go any further, my other co-host tonight, Mr. Q Storm, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Mike, doing good. Just surviving the storm and everything is all right.
All right. And of course, Big Sexy and Sack is in the house. How are you, man?
You know, had a bout of indigestion last night, kept me out of court today, but right about now I'm starting to feel like I've turned the corner. I feel a little better.
All right. And last but certainly not least, my friend, your friend, Big Ken. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm just cool.
All right, Morris E-Date.
That's right.
So, as we used to do, we're going to talk about a lot of different things here today. We're going to get into some geeked out sort of stuff. We may even get into some prints. You never know. But we're going to start it off with a story that Q-Storm hit me up to. I saw this come through on my email. Hadn't been online all day. And this is a... I don't know, it's kind of a bombshell. It's very unexpected out of left field. Disney is going to purchase Lucasfilms from, of course, Mr. George Lucas for the amount of like $4 billion. And they've announced also that they're going to have a new Star Wars film, Episode 7, in 2015. So this is major news. I actually have a clip of George Lucas, if my computer acts right. So I have a little clip of Lucas actually talking about the future of Star Wars and how it sits right now that Disney has ownership of this. So apparently they've been doing a lot of press conferences and different things today. So I'll play a little bit of this and then we'll talk about it. So hold on.
We have other big news.
Well... I always said I wasn't going to do any more, and that's true, because I'm not going to do any more. But that doesn't mean I'm unwilling to turn it over to Kathy to do more. Mm-hmm. I have story treatments of 7, 8, and 9 and a bunch of other movies, and obviously we have hundreds of books and comics and everything you could possibly imagine. So, you know, I sort of moved that treasure trove of stories and various things to Kathy, and I have complete confidence that she's going to take them and make great movies.
We are absolutely going to make Star Wars movies, and we are in the midst of the really fun part of the process, which is we're sitting down with a couple of writers and we're starting to discuss ideas and we're starting to talk about what those stories might be. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't going to be entirely on my own, because it's important that he at least continue to be a little guardian angel on my shoulder, helping
they're
me do this.
They're finishing hologram now. Don't worry. Yeah.
My Yoda has to be there.
I'm doing this so that the films will have a longer life, and so that more fans and people can enjoy them in the future. It's a very big universe I've created, and there's a lot of stories that are sitting in there.
The main thing is to protect these characters. Make sure that they still continue to live in the way they...
Big Ken!
Yeah?
Is that you with the crackling?
Yeah, that's me, man. I'm doing a little therapy over here, bro.
You are killing us right now.
My bad. I didn't know this Bluetooth picked up everything like that, man.
Oh, very well it does, yes.
My bad.
I had to stop because I'm sorry. So I'll let a little bit more of this play.
You created them, and that the universe of Star Wars continues to grow.
I get to be a fan now, which is what I was saying before, and I sort of look forward to it. It's a lot more fun, actually, than actually having to go out in the mud. And
you can actually blog about what we're doing and how we're messing things up.
No. I just say, gosh, they're out in the snow, and it's cold, and hopefully it'll be an inspiring package of entertainment that it has always been. Well into the future.
Okay, so Mr. George Lucas himself co-signing, handing it off. Lady name is Kennedy. I think it's Kathy Kennedy. She is going to be, I believe, like the CEO of Kathleen Kennedy. I'm sorry. She's going to be the president of Lucasfilm going forward. And she is going to helm the torch of the Star Wars movies. So let's go around the room. Q Storm, what's your take on this exciting news?
Well, when I first saw it, I was like, this is like huge news. Why is it that I'm seeing this on my iPhone, on my USA Today app for the first time? It seemed like right after the Storm coverage, this should have been on the news. I mean, we're talking about a franchise here that is 36 plus years old, I believe. And it just came out of nowhere. It floored me. The first question I had was, Lucas is not a poor man. So I'm surprised that he felt the need to sell it. I guess my question would be, why not license the rights to the film property as opposed to selling it outright? It's huge news, and in the same go round, I read that there's going to be a Star Wars 7 in a mere 3 years.
Yep.
So this is a huge. I mean, Disney is basically like Pac-Man. I mean, they're gobbling up everything. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I guess it's going to allow us to see more Star Wars content, more movies. And I just hope that they treat it with respect. I hope they keep the original fans, the people who are of my generation, and I assume I'm of the same generation as you fellows. I hope they respect us when they develop this new content, and it's not all for kids like the last three movies were. I mean, if it's good product, I'm all in for it. But it's just a shocking piece of news.
All right. Big Sexy and Sack, what do you think about this? You know, and let's say also, you know, of course, Disney has had great success with their acquisition of Marvel and what they've been doing with that so far. So what's your take on it?
Well, the Star Wars thing, two things immediately leap to mind. The first thing is when Rick Berman took over the Star Trek franchise from Gene Roddenberry, he expanded on it and made it into something just insane. And at the same time, there's always the possibility, no matter how slight, of someone at Disney not respecting what has come along thus far, and we end up getting like the new monkeys. So that's also a caveat. Now, from a business standpoint, I don't believe Disney is about licensing. I think if they're gonna get in bed with a product, they're going to take the product. And $4.5 billion, says they can go ahead and do that. Also, I saw iFanboy, because I've seen this news everywhere. I saw it on Dr. Funkenberry, iFanboy, Antenna TV, just everywhere. But they brought up a valid point. How is this going to affect Dark Horse? Because Dark Horse had licensed the Star Wars things for their line of comics. So I'm sure when that license expires, that's it. They'll be published under the Marvel banner, just like Disney did with IDW, because they were publishing through IDW for a minute, and then Disney said, you know what, we'd like that back. So Disney is really taking over. Now, if they can find someone, if Kathleen, I think that's her name, Kathleen can come in and have this vision of expanding their universe, which is what he talked about in that clip, you know, I'm all for it, because I'm not the big Star Wars head that you guys are, but I do know those prequels were some bullshit. You know, so if they get back on track with number 7 and follow up in that path, I'm all in. I would definitely like to see where this is going to go. But this, from a deal standpoint, is way bigger than when Marvel was absorbed by Disney. This is really major news, and it should have got more coverage.
All right, Big Ken. So I would take it you are a Star Wars fan.
Yes, sir.
What do you think of this? Episode 7. Like, the ramifications
of
that.
I read that it's actually going to be episode 7, 8, and 9.
Right.
It's going to be another trilogy. It's going to be another trilogy picking up where Jedi left off. You know, Luke trying to restart the Jedi Order, all that stuff. So, that's what I read. So, my first impulse when I first heard it was like, my first thought was like, damn, George Lucas, like Q Storm said, he doesn't need any more money, but $4.5 billion, cha-ching, he wins, he got paid. Then the second thing I thought was Disney, the cats at Disney got to be smiling from ear to ear. Because they just got the whole game on lock. First Marvel, now Lucasfilm, and all that entails. That's blockbuster deal. But then what I really thought about as a Star Wars fan, as you said, Mike, I'm a hardcore Star Wars guy, have been ever since I was a youngster. To me, this is, I'm excited about this because, you know, unlike, you know, some, you know, like Q-Storm has already basically alluded to it and Mark alluded to it already. I didn't have a problem so much with the prequels. They weren't of the caliber of the original trilogy. Of course, we all agree on that. But as far as, you know, telling backstory as to how Darth Vader became Darth Vader, they fulfilled the purpose. They could have been better done, but I didn't overall have that much of a problem with it. It was okay. But I love the expanded universe, okay, beyond just, you know, the original three movies. I'm all into the Clone Wars, the Dark Horse comics, you know, the, what was that, that online game that they got out now, the Old Republic, all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'm real deep into, you know, the whole Star Wars timeline. So for them to go ahead, and now we got verification that they're going to go ahead with 7, 8, 9 and get into Luke and what he's doing past that, and Han and Leia are married with twins, and Jason and Jaina Solo, and all that stuff that they're going to do. If they go that route, I'm all in. I'm already in line. You know what I'm saying? So for me personally, as a fan, I think this is great. And from my vantage point, I got the sense that it wasn't so much driven by money in terms of that for Lucas. I just get the feeling that he has just reached a point where it's time to pass it on to the youngsters, man. He's tired. He's sticking on as a consultant, an executive consultant, from what I understand. So he's going to still have his imprint and the path or the guiding hand or whatever you want to call it, you know, for these next sequels. And then I also read in the same article that not only are they going to do episodes 7, 8, 9, but, you know, they plan to just, you know, release other Star Wars movies, not necessarily directly related to the trilogies, but they're going to just, you know, continue with the more of the expanded universe. So to me, like I said, I'm all into that, man. So that's good news for me as a fan, you know, like as long as they, you know, keep the
hello,
the thread of, you know, of what the core of Star Wars is about, I'm all in.
All right. So a couple things I want to touch on, too, is the fact, well, one, we were talking about, like, what was some of the reasons of why, you know, Lucas would do that. I didn't play the other clips. He actually, there's a few actually video speeches or press conferences or whatever you want to have where he speaks specifically. And he basically says, I wanted to retire. Like, I was looking for a way to retire and move away from this. And, you know, who am I going to leave it to? You know, who's going to take care of the characters? Who could take care of this whole thing, you know, the right way? And he said for him, Disney, you know, was just the perfect fit. He felt like they could handle it and they would treat it right. Obviously, right, he's getting paid $4 billion. He's the sole ownership of that. So I think it's like $2 billion in cash, the other two in stock options. What does $2 billion in cash look like? That's me. He's like, how many trucks is that? That's crazy. But in terms of the actual Star Wars story, the fact that they're ready to drop a movie in 2015 says that they're pretty much almost ready to go into production, right? One of the clips they revealed that they've already met with writers. They pretty much got that, you know, they're writing that bad boy. They already know what the story is going to be, and they have the outlines for the other two movies. So let's throw this out there, and this hasn't even, you know, they haven't said this yet, but give me, if you can, two choices. Who would be your choices that you want to see direct this thing? Because George Lucas ain't doing it. He's not going to be directing this stuff. You know, they say, yeah, he just have a, you know, creative director on that, but this is time for somebody else. It's some time for somebody else's vision, but I don't think they're going to move away from what Star Wars is and what it's supposed to be. Obviously, it's what sells it. But Q-Storm, if you could give me two directors or one, who would you want to see direct this? Hello.
Q.
I'm here. Oh, okay.
Oh, there.
I had to take my mic off mute. Sorry. Okay. That's a hell of a question. Let me just break this up into two categories. I'll be brief. There are some directors, because I'm old school, there's some directors that immediately come to mind. I'm thinking of Nicholas Meyer, who turned Star Trek around with Star Trek II. There's another one that comes that I was thinking of. But the guy who directed my favorite Star Wars of all time is in my top 10. That would be Howard Kazanjian, who did Empire Strikes Back. But these guys are probably out the game now.
I think he's dead, actually.
Okay, well, that would include that too.
Come back from the dead to do another one.
So, I mean, if you ask me this question right this second, the first person that comes to mind, I mean, J.J. Abrams or Joss Whedon, those are obvious people to look at because they have some success now. But I'm looking at, for some reason, the name Neil Blomkamp comes to mind. He's the guy who directed, what was that movie? Not Mission 9, District 9.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was an excellent movie. I thought it was very tense and, you know, it had sci-fi elements. So off the top of my head, he comes to mind. And I guess, you know, I don't know, J.J. Abrams probably got his hands too busy right now. And Joss Whedon's probably got his hands too busy. A second director doesn't spring to mind for me.
Okay.
Maybe one of the guys who did the Bourne movies, because they know action, they can do action and give a little twist. I don't know.
All right. I'm going to just throw my nomination into the... I would throw in Joss Whedon, though I don't really think that he has the time to do it. One thing to keep in mind is 2005, we will not only see a Star Wars movie and a Justice League movie, but we're also going to see the Avengers 2. So that whole box office is crazy. Marvel pretty much already got it already wrapped up. Joss Whedon doing Avengers 2. But I would throw in the Wachowski siblings. I would say let them have it. It has to be Star Wars, but I think they would add the touch and the detail to it and, you know, the love of the genre and the story, and they could make it amazing. I would love to see what they would come away with it. With that said, Big Ken, any directors come to mind for you?
You know what? Honestly, none come to mind that I can think of. I mean, everybody's going to say Joss Whedon. Everybody's going to say, you know, J.J. Abrams. Those are the, you know, obvious choices, I guess. Whether they would have time, I'm not sure. But my only thing is, whoever directs it, I would almost say, part of me would say, try to go get somebody that's already in the Lucasfilm camp. Because it needs to be somebody that's going to respect the material. Now, not necessarily turn it into... You know, like somebody mentioned the guy from the Bourne movies. Yeah, okay, I can see that. But, you know, Star Wars to me has never been about, you know, these grotesquely big action scenes. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want, you know what I mean? I don't want it tampered with too much. You know what I'm saying? So somebody, whoever does it, needs to be well-versed in Star Wars, a fan of Star Wars, needs to understand the crux of what Star Wars is. So, you know, and... But hey, Q Storm, who did you say the director of Empire Strikes Back was?
Wasn't it Howard Kazanjian?
No, it's Irvin Kershner, man.
Yeah, you're right.
Who is he talking about? Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. Empire is my favorite movie too, and like the way Irvin did it to me was perfect. I mean, he took over from George Lucas doing it, and he put the feeling in there, man. I mean, so to me, that would be the blueprint to follow. You know, but I can't say right now, man, who you know I would like to see.
All right, Big Sexy, you got any names?
You know, the name that immediately comes to mind for some reason, I don't know why, but I think Robert Rodriguez, because I like what he did with Sin City, and I like also what he did with the Spy Kids movies. That shows me that he can do the dramatic pieces, and yet he can still appeal to, let's face it, a large part of the Disney demographic is the young people, and he can get to them, and he can visualize things that's palatable to them. Also, Ken mentioned the Wachowski brothers. I don't know. Didn't they do the Speed Racer fiasco?
No, I didn't mention them. That was Mike.
I mentioned them, and yes, they did. But and I will say this. To me, that movie visually is brilliant. That's all I got to say.
It gave me a headache, man. But they didn't respect the source material. That's the thing that, and that's the main thing that concerns me. You gotta respect the source material.
And I agree with you. Now, after seeing Cloud Atlas, I would put their names in there, and of course, The Matrix. But I will say that whoever they pick, I think it's a given that I would imagine most of the people that we mentioned are heavy Star Wars fans in the sense of they respect what George Lucas did, and I know they all know all the beats. You know, I was hesitant to say Steven Spielberg because he's so identical in a way. He definitely understands the beats of a Star Wars film, which are almost the same as Indiana Jones sort of film. Like they have, you know, the Avengers to me had a lot of those sort of moments that it could play to anybody, right? Kids can get into it, adults get into it, and it doesn't seem like it's pandering. I think that the Wachowskis and a Whedon, they understand those beats. And a lot of these directors, I think, understand it. So I don't think anybody's going to change Star Wars. That would be foolhardy. I would imagine this would be the most pressurous job a director could get to say, hey, you're going to do the next Star Wars movie. Because if you F up, that's your career. Right, pretty much. I mean,
just don't give it to Spike Lee, because then he'll play Luke Skywalker himself.
You know what?
Throwing trash cans through the Death Star or whatnot.
I was actually gonna say though, I wouldn't mind seeing them pick somebody who's totally so far removed from it, because again, I think that Spike Lee understands what George Lucas does, and it has nothing to do with Spike Lee normally does. And I think a good director could see, okay, it has to have this, and he knows how to bring that out. I think he's a cinema. I think personally, Spike Lee would be excellent. Just like if somebody said Martin Scorsese, or even the guy who did Prometheus, they're gonna bring some of their stuff to it, but they're not gonna change Star Wars. Again, I think it'd be foolhardy. I don't think Disney would allow them to. Obviously, they got too much money invested for it to be.
Hey, they can go get Tyler Perry, put Madea in there, boy.
Well, I don't know about that.
Put Madea and Joe in there. Put some humor.
The other name I would throw, and I'll shut up, is I know he won't do it, but it'd be dope. James Cameron.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, let me throw this out to you. Mike, you mentioned Steven Spielberg and how he and Lucas were kind of like friendly rivals. What about Coppola?
That would be a trip. I mean, I would just want to see what he did with it. Personally, I think anybody you pick is going to be Star Wars. There's just too much money involved, too much legacy for them to change it, right? It's a cash cow. You're not going to mess up the cash cow. They just really need to get somebody who cares enough about the story and the details to pull it off. Technically, they could probably throw anybody in there as a director. As long as they got Lucas creating the story and the feel of it, and they're going to have Lucasfilm and Industrial Light do it, it's going to be Star Wars. It can't be no worse than the prequels, right? And those were mad successful. So I'd imagine with Disney's, you know, marketing abilities and how they do things, the movie will not fail. All you got to say is Star Wars, and it will be a line around the block. And of course, we all want to see what comes after the Jedi. Right, even if it's crap, we're all gonna go see it. So I don't think they're gonna mess it up personally. But
if they follow the books and novels that have been written, take the whole Han and Leia married with twins, and then they have another kid, Anakin or Ben Anakin or something like that. If they do that, I mean, that story is tight. If they follow suit with that, so
I agree. That's the bigger question to me. What is the story really gonna be about?
Right,
because they're either going to do what you said, or they're going to screw up the continuity.
Because, I mean, if you look at the novels, I mean, I've read a bunch of the novels, the whole, Grand Admiral Thrawn trilogy and all that. I mean, they got a lot of material that they could draw from. But I think the key that all of us have said, the key is they have to pick somebody that lives, breathes, and understands, that gets it, man. They can't come, whoever they pick, yeah, they're going to come in and make their little changes and put their little imprint on it. That's fine. But they can't stray too far. Irvin Kershner did it with Empire. He put his little touches in there, but he never strayed too far from what Lucas had set up with the first one. And I think that's what made it so good, man. So they got to be very careful.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Even if they were to follow those books that you said, I don't think they can do it because, again, those books star Luke, Leia, and Han. And there ain't no way in hell, even if they agreed to come back, they're way too old to do it. Like, there's no way Hamill can do it.
Oh, they're gonna do. They're gonna do the stories with Luke. I mean, they're gonna recast new actors. That's all. They're not bringing them old heads back in there. That's out.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough. That would be a tough sell. Recasting
those
roles.
That's a
They can't put the old heads back in there. So they got to recast the whole thing. But they can't just pick up after Jedi Man and not reference Han, Leia, and Luke and all the stuff after that. They have to pick up with them.
Yeah, unless they pick up like 50 years later. And again, it probably will screw with some continuity maybe in the books, but I don't think there's no way they can have those core characters in the movie unless they're very old or something. It has to be so far away from that.
But I mean, from the books though, Luke is like restarting the Jedi Order, even, you know, 50 years down the line. So he would still be involved, but you know, you're right. It's still all about the cast. They got to get the right cast, right?
Yeah.
Everything. So, but you ain't gonna see them old heads, man. That's how.
And hopefully we don't see Jar Jar.
Oh no, he ain't gonna be in there, man.
I wonder if they like, look, we're gonna give you 1 billion. We're gonna give you 1 billion for Star Wars and 3 billion to keep Jar Jar out this month.
Let me tell you something right quick. And see, Mike, you probably know what I'm talking about because you played it and you've checked it out, man. See, what this whole deal makes me excited about, not only about this upcoming trilogy and all that, that's great, but I would love to see them, man, do some type of live action or animation, you know, real animation that deals with the Old Republic and all that stuff, you know, stuff through the game, the Darth Malgus and all that, man. They got such a rich, fertile, you know, well to pull from, man. So, I mean, this deal is big. Not just these movies, but they got a lot that they could do.
But one thing they didn't mention in any of this was two things that they didn't mention. One, you don't see or hear anything about, this is his co-partner, Rick, the guy who helped produce, you know, all the
Rick
last,
McCallum?
Yeah, he's McCallum? Nowhere to be found in any of this, right? Which I find very odd. And secondly, there is not one mention of that long rumored and been working on live action TV show. They didn't mention that at all. They've mentioned games here. They've mentioned another animated series and some other TV things. But there's no mention of that TV series, who they say they have scripted for already 100 episodes. So I'm curious if those projects are dead or if they're going to come back. And on the games, they said they're going to focus more not on the console, but on the mobile games in terms of Star Wars. So, very interesting, very interesting.
I'm already in line, bro, so it's
I'm
all
with you. And I would say for Disney, man, they're really creating quite the portfolio because, I mean, they got Marvel. They've done a great job with that so far. I mean, the biggest movie of the year with that. Now they have Star Wars. Like, man, it's just crazy. And just
don't forget Pixar.
And Pixar as well. And who do they get Pixar originally from, right? Lucas. So it all, you know, it all comes out in the wash.
If I can jump in, I got two points real quick. Wasn't Kathleen Kennedy, or isn't she Steven Spielberg's producing partner?
I would not be surprised.
I'm sure I saw her name on the credit of E.T. and credits of E.T. and Close Encounters and all of his classic stuff. But the second thing, I'm wondering if we might see, am I wrong that Disney is famous for bringing movie and the Marvel properties to Broadway?
I don't know.
They brought some of Disney properties and Pixar properties to Broadway, so.
What about Spider-Man, right?
Well,
I don't know if they had I know they did. I don't know if they had that already.
I don't know if they had anything to do with that. But I see where you're going with this.
It's not out of the realm of possibility
that they could do some Marvel stuff like that to Broadway. So,
but again, Lucas, and let's be clear, Lucas is no shame to the dollar. He's done a lot of licensing deals. It's just interesting to me that I don't wonder, does he give up all the licensing and stuff too, like the toys?
Oh, he has to. He has to.
Man, that's crazy.
You know, because Disney wants all of it. You know, that's what they're paying for. They're paying for the whole shebang.
Wow. That's a hell of a deal. A hell of a deal that they kept secret. I don't know how long they've been working on it. And I looked up Kathleen Kennedy real quick, and you are right. She was partnered with Steven Spielberg. Her husband was Frank Marshall.
Is she no longer with him, or?
Oh, I have no. I don't know. I guess. Well, probably not now.
One thing I found interesting, Ken mentioned the possibility of some like live action and some animation, but now that immediately gave me a concern because Disney obviously they have their own channels, and one is a animation channel. But you know, if what is happening with Marvel is any indication on the animation front, I would not expect much because, and I could be in the extreme minority here. You guys know what you think, but I see that Marvel has a tendency to de-age their core characters. They've got this Iron Man show, and he's a teenager. Get the hell no. And I know they want to appeal to that segment. I know this. But when you take an existing, long-standing sci-fi property, a very successful one, and if you start dicking around with it and make an animation thing, for instance, where Luke and Leia are in fifth grade, I got a problem with that, if that happens.
Yeah, well, Lucas has already done. I mean, the prequels did that, right? They made Darth Vader a little boy and added all those characters. And Anakin's a young kid. So he's already shot that load and sold it out. So it can't get any worse than the prequels. I don't think they'll make that mistake again. And, I mean, look, I agree with some of the stuff you're saying, but at the end of the day, I think Disney does a pretty good job where they pretty much kind of let the companies do what they do. They didn't really go in and bum rush Marvel and change it all up dramatically. If nothing else, I think they really focused on those movies and obviously had great success with that. So I don't think they're going to go in and change what is already super successful, right? I mean, it's Star Wars. They don't have to change nothing. They can just own
exactly.
It. You know, all they got to do is just own it and put their little muscle behind it. And again, like I've always thought, they'll never stop making those movies. It's just too much money. And Lucas, even though he said, I ain't going to never do it, as he said, hey, when they write the right check, cameras will roll. And that's what's about to happen. So we're going to definitely keep our eyes on that. It's going to send the Star Wars websites in a tizzy trying to figure out what this next movie is going to be about. But let's move on a little bit here. Quickly wanted to mention the movie Cloud Atlas. And I'm just going to say that every sci-fi head person, you owe it to yourself to go watch this movie because I will say that it is definitely super action-packed, suspenseful. It is an amazing piece of work. I didn't know what to expect when I went to go see it, and I was entertained, maybe even somewhat blown away slightly, but it was a masterpiece worth the work. It is like four or five different stories kind of intercut all at the same time, and it's just crazy. The sci-fi, you know, you see the sci-fi part in the trailer. I would just say they could have made a movie on that, would have blew it off. The action is ridiculous. I was like, what? And the premise of it is like, oh. And then there's the whole pirate ship slave part. Dope. There is the 70s era vert stuff going on. Crazy, like suspenseful, right? It's like, whoa, this is. And then there is a part where it takes place in 2012, but it's the old people breaking out of a senior citizen home. Dope. Like one of the best parts, I was like, this is great. And it all ties together. There is so much detail in this movie. Like we were talking off mic, yes, you have to really watch, and there's a lot of little things you miss, and there's a lot of little cues and clues that you're like, oh, that was that. Amazing movie. And I will say lastly, Tom Hanks is the man. Like
as always,
he's playing these different roles that are very different from one another, and he did a great job. Halle Berry, this is probably the best work she's ever done. Like, I was amazed. I was like, wow, she's doing her thing.
Was that a Catwoman?
Oh. Man, please. Hugh Grant, amazing. I didn't even realize it was Hugh Grant when I was watching it, even though one of the characters he plays is his own face. I still was like, I recognize this guy, but I don't know who the hell this is. Amazing. He plays so many different characters. there's another guy who I'm totally forgetting, and he's probably more so, I would say, the star of this movie because he's playing in so many different roles. And there's an Asian girl in this movie that is the star of this thing.
You talking about Hugo Weaving?
Not him, but he was good. There was it's Jim Sturgis or something like that, I think his name was. I don't even know. I don't know whether he's ever been in before. Man, he did the damn thing. Like, amazing. It's a good movie. You definitely have to go see it. I think it's a movie that's hard to market. I'm actually shocked that they even put that movie out because it is so, like, out there. But I think, again, if you watch it, it has everything that a great action summer movie has. And it's all in there. It's just amazing how they did it. And I think the real star of this movie is the editor, whoever that person is, because they seamlessly edited, you know, four or five different things all into one. And they cut back and forth and every cut perfect. Like, it doesn't, it's not like you don't understand what's going on. Maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes, you're kind of like, it's not that you don't know what's going on, but they're giving you so much great concepts and great story and just a little hook to pull you in where you're like, whoa, I want to know more what's going on with that. And then you go into something else and then you come back. Amazing piece of work. Very ambitious. So, definitely go check out Cloud Atlas.
Let me ask you this. I haven't seen it yet, but you mentioned it travels through time. Is it along the lines of how they did it in Forrest Gump? They would show, you know, different eras at a stretch?
I vaguely remember Forrest Gump. I would just say that all of them are somewhat connected, and it does, it's definitely going from way like in the 1800s to like the super, super far, far wasteland future. And somehow they do play into each other. I hesitate to give away kind of what's going on, but it's not necessarily time travel per se. It's just showing you different moments in time, but they're all very coherent stories. It's not like it just crap thrown together and, oh, it doesn't really have an ending to it. It has a definite ending to it. There's a definite story there. And it has a couple different themes. Like, if you're into music, there's a great theme about music in there. If you're into love, of course, it's a great theme. If you're into, like, spirituality and questioning sort of stuff like that, there's that whole piece. It's all about freedom, you know. And, again, it's not a dull movie. It's a very violent movie. There's a lot of sex in the movie. Everything. It's amazing, man. I think we may have joked. I joked about this with somebody, and I'll say this lastly. If they really wanted to make money on this movie, they could have said that this movie was called Tales of the Matrix. And they could have shot one scene at the beginning showing that these are the same people just being put into different realities in the Matrix. And the reason why they're doing it is to keep the people engaged and staying in the Matrix. So they have to keep changing constantly. And that's why it's the same person in here. If you think that watching it, you would be like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. Like, they're in the Matrix. And there's a point in the movie where they have a guy who kind of looks like Neo, and I think they did it on purpose, and he sort of acts like him. And it's, you know, it's in that future part. But amazing. It's just amazing. I think the Wachowski brothers are dope. Period. Like, this was...
Did they direct this movie, or did they produce it?
They directed along with another person. They did direct it.
Oh, yeah, Tom Twyker or something?
Yeah, I think all of them directed different pieces of it.
Okay.
It's amazing. At the end of the movie, they do a thing where they'll show, like, Tom Hanks, and then they'll show every single character that he played. And some of them you catch, some of them you might not have. Hugo Weaving plays a woman in this movie. Like, people play different, you know, races. Not different races, but different sexes. But anyway, I don't go on about it, but it's a very good movie. Anybody else seen any other movie that they want to bring up? Ken.
The last movie I saw was Looper.
Ah, I like that movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I dug it a lot, man, but that's the last one I've seen. I might go check out this Cloud Atlas maybe in the next couple of days.
Okay.
Myself.
Big Sexy, any movies you've seen recently?
You know, I haven't seen any films lately because I've been, you know, running around in a court, various courts a lot, but let me hijack now. Walking Dead season three. Yeah. Not kidding around.
No, they're not.
You went there.
I have gone there. Rick and his team, it is on. Now, season two, yeah, whatever. Now is what's going on.
And let me just say this. I have yet to watch episode three yet, so if we can steer clear of spoilers for that episode.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't seen that episode yet either. So
I will not say a word, but gentlemen, this is the season.
I agree.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Certainly.
Frank Darabont who?
Exactly. Man, they have kicked it up five notches. It is just, whew, it is scaring the shit out of me every Sunday night. I love it.
Are you exactly right? But let me ask you, Big Sexy. I don't want to give anything away, but there was a scene involving Herschel that I thought was a little cheap. What did you? I don't know if. Have you guys seen anything involving Herschel? Any new developments with Herschel? I don't want to ruin anything for you.
I've only seen the first two episodes, so yeah.
Okay, so you probably haven't seen this episode. So I'll put it to the side. I'll put it on the side burner.
All right. Well, yeah, Rick's character is definitely hardcore. Like he put that. What did he put, a hatchet or an axe in the dude's head or something like that? Or
in the conflict.
Was it episode two when they was fighting with the prisoners and like?
Yep, put that machete right on him.
Yeah, I was like.
Okay, so you've already seen the part I was talking about. Then, if you saw that,
I've seen the first two.
Yeah, that was in episode two, though.
Yeah, I seen
the. We haven't seen the last episode.
Okay, so you've seen Herschel get bitten.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's episode two.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I thought that was. That was the only problem I've had so far, where it was very Roadrunner-ish to me, where they all run past this zombie who's sitting there, and then Herschel comes back, and all of a sudden, unless zombies can set traps,
I thought
that was a little fake. But you know what? Everything else has been so good in this season. I mean, I'm excited about this show again.
Okay.
I'm excited about Carl. I'm starting to see the little nuances with him.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, that's definitely, they kicked it up a lot. Very excited. We've got a little bit of time. I just seen this. I got to throw this in here too. Of course, they're doing a lot of comic book movies. There's the Wolverine. They put a very interesting movie poster out on that the other day. Hugh Jackman did a video chat about the movie. But today they are officially saying that Bryan Singer is the director of X-Men Days of Future Past. Any comments on that?
Hey,
boo.
They had better not fuck up the source material on this.
That doesn't excite me whatsoever.
It excites me. Man, I want to see that.
Wasn't Bryan Singer the dude that directed the first couple of X-Men movies? Or at least the first one?
I know he did. Yes. He did the first two.
Yeah, that's
And then he
Not
did Super.
Move,
then he went and did Superman.
Oh, Superman was crap.
Yeah.
He doesn't excite me as a director anymore.
And to be clear, this is the sequel to X-Men First Class. So it is, it's dealing with those, dealing from that movie and then going forward. I think this movie. Now I'm very excited to see this. I'm not gonna lie, because the story Days of Futures Past. I believe this is probably Fox's way of being able to drag Hugh Jackman into this movie and anybody else in the Marvel or the X-Men universe, because it's a time travel sort of premise. So this will be interesting. Bryan Singer's got to show and prove, though. He definitely got to come hard. Because Superman Returns, that was some of that old bullshit.
That was just crap. Everything about it was garbage. Now, do we have time to go into what's happening with this whole Marvel Now thing?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
One thing that's doing with Marvel Now, and they don't call it a reboot, but a relaunch of about 20 titles, but one of the titles is called All New X-Men, which takes the original five X-Men from a point in time back in the day and brings them current. That is something I'm looking forward to reading about.
Okay.
What about the Uncanny Avengers?
You know, I picked up Uncanny Avengers, and it's obviously a piece to try to bridge the fallout from AVX. you know, but I'm getting tired of the Cyclops' martyr thing. Someone's got to come along and rehabilitate his character or kill him. I'm tired of him. Rogue is a word I'm not going to use because, you know, she needs to let this thing go. I mean, they had beef and she wants to start punching people out. You know, I don't know. I haven't liked the direction the X-Men franchise has taken over the last several years. So let's just finish this run and kill it. Now, is this book going to be a miniseries or is it ongoing? I thought it was like 6 issues.
As far as I know, it's going to be ongoing, but we shall see.
We shall see.
Yeah, they lost me on the whole. The whole shot has lost me. Unfortunately, I just can't read it. But
hey man, let me get your guys' opinion on this. What's the vibe on this whole Justice League movie, man?
I'm in line, and it can be a whack as hell, but I'm in line.
Well, okay, but I guess that's my problem with it. I mean, I'm gonna go see it. Don't get it twisted. I am a Marvel guy through and through. I mean, other than Batman, and there's really not much in DC that I'm really into, but I'm going to go check it out anyway. But what my thing is how are they going to set up all the characters? Because they're not going to do the same thing that Marvel did, right? Are they going to like tie all the individual movies in together, or are they just going to just have this one big-ass Justice League?
See, they're going right into Justice League with Batman, Superman, yeah.
Here's the thing, though.
But I'm saying, is it going to cook? So the Superman that's in Man of Steel, is that going to be tied to this project?
They rumored that he will be in the movie, yeah.
Okay, but they're not going to get Christian Bale, so they're going to have to get somebody else to do Batman, right?
Yeah, the whole new
is
Batman.
Is that the plan?
Whole new Batman.
And they're going to, are they going to have, his name is Green Lantern again?
They haven't said.
With Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, they haven't announced that part.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what. I don't. Something about this project doesn't sit right with me, but I'm gonna go check it out. I'm curious to see how they put it off. But my expectations are low.
Yeah, that's go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say that's the only way they could do it. I don't see how they could do individual movies because they've never approached Wonder Woman as a movie. Green Lantern tanked. And you can't. They don't want to take the time to develop those individual franchises to get Justice League off the ground because they're behind the time as it is, right? So this is the only way. As bad as it may be, I agree with you, Big Kim, but I can't see them doing it any other way. They got to come right out the gate with the Justice League.
And to be clear, I mean they're coming out the gate, but they do have Superman that's going to come out. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know about that movie, but. That's going to be leading into this some way because they plan to use the same character. And even though they're not going to use the Nolan stuff, Batman is established where I think there is still a lot of interest in Batman. And again, it's a lot of unknowns. So we all, just like the Avengers too, I mean, obviously we still want to see how are they going to do it? Like, how are you going to have Superman, Batman, and all these other characters in this? And it has to work. I think they still have that challenge. I think that's still a very interesting thing to see.
I just think it would have, if they could have somehow at the end of, you know, this last Dark Knight movie, if they could have somehow tied it to this upcoming Superman, so somehow put them in the same continuity that would have followed through to the Justice League, I think they would have been better served. You know, I don't know. It could work. I wish them the best, but, you know, it just seems like they're going to have a... I mean, I guess you could argue that the DC characters are more well-known. I mean, everybody knows Wonder Woman and the Flash and Batman and Superman. And so I guess they figured maybe they don't need as much exposition on those as Marvel may have needed to do with Iron Man and Thor and so forth. So, now, be interesting.
Yes, and somebody said, you can't do an hour. We're almost coming to an hour. Quick reactions to the Iron Man 3 trailer. What'd you guys think?
It looked kind of dark to me, man. It looked pretty dark. I like what I saw. I'm my interest is peaked for it.
Well, you just reminded me that I have to check it out. The link that I had was not working, and I got really busy, but I got to check it out.
Okay.
They're trying to separate Tony from the tech. and put him out there, man. No, Solo, you know.
You know, I'm all about, I'm in favor of them separating from the tech, but if this is going to be the Mandarin, man, I'm in. I'm all about the Mandarin. And the thing is, in our societal culture, I'm afraid that someone's going to come along and say, well, why has he got to be Asian? Why has he got to be Asian?
Well, because, you know they're going to do that. But it is about the Mandarin, because the clip that I saw, they showed your man Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, they showed him.
Dressed up as him with the 10 rings, and it looked pretty tight. So, yeah, I'm hyped up for that.
Now, did you know, I don't know if you noticed it, but it's been pointed out. There's a clip in there of the Mandarin showing him from the back, and he has a Captain America shield tattooed on the back of his neck.
I did see that.
That is very interesting. Like, I don't know what's going on, but yeah, DC, they're definitely putting it together. They're putting them together.
Yeah. They have two different approaches, but, you know, yeah, they put it out there. But see, I think Marvel, they're going to keep the same formula, meaning, okay, you get Cap Thor 2, which is going to be connected to Captain America, the Winter Soldier. So you're going to see, you know, Bucky as the Winter Soldier. You're going to see Crossbones and Cap, which is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, Red Skull, that kind of stuff. But now, you know, they're going to introduce in some other characters. And I've been reading, you know, they're looking for somebody to play Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Possibly Black Panther might be in there. Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well,
that's going to be tight, man.
Yeah, the rumor is the Ant-Man movie is 2015 as well. So they got the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. That's going to be their biggest ambitious thing. They'll pull that movie off. It's going to be crazy.
Now, that movie will take a lot of exposition, because that's not really a frontline Marvel property by any stretch. So they're going to do some work on this one.
Yeah, and
but then again, I thought the same thing about Thor too. Though I didn't think I thought Thor would be a hard sell for the general public, and they somehow managed to pull that one off. So you know, who knows, maybe, but they can pull off Rocket Raccoon pretty good.
Yeah, there is actually already some Marvel stuff pushing Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm trying to remember what I saw. It was either like some early toy releases for this Christmas. It was like a toy fair or something, and they've already got the Guardians stuff already. Like, they're priming these kids now.
Yeah.
For a couple years from now, so they're definitely.
They had that Guardians series a couple years back, and it, you know, they're refeaturing them again in the current Avengers Assemble title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so
they're priming it up. They're getting it ready.
Yeah, they're getting it ready. By the time it comes out, you know, everybody will know who Drax and Gamora are.
Yeah. All right, last part, and this may derail things. It would not be complete. I got to do it because we got these people. We got who we got on the line.
Go on, do it, Mike. Go. I know you waiting.
So
I'm ready for you. I'm ready.
Years ago, a couple years ago, I think we did a show all about the iPad, right? When it first announced and it was coming out, and we talked about the iPad. And I know Ken's got one. He may have two. Couple different generations. I know Q Storm. I know he's had a couple. Tablets have come a long way from that show that we did a couple years ago. Now there's a lot of people in the game. It's all over the place. And there never stops being new announcements. So a few things I wanted to touch on. One is there's the iPad Mini. I wanted to get our resident Apple heads' opinion on that. And also, the tablet game. You got the iPad Mini. Is there an iPad 4 coming out pretty soon?
Yeah, it's just a spec bump version, but okay. Yeah, the quote-unquote next generation.
Yep, and then Google just announced what the Nexus 10, which is their 10-inch version of their Nexus tablet. There's the Kindles, different Kindles out there. There are the Nook. Is it Nook HD, I think, is a new one that just came out today or something like that. There's the Galaxy Notes and all that sort of stuff. And then now Microsoft has their Surface tablets. You know, Windows 8 tablets are out there now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and the prices range from all over the place. I know one of my big things before, I said I would never get them because it was just too damn expensive. Now they got them down to, you know, $200 or $100-something dollars or whatever. So quickly, and I say quickly, Apple heads, first question, is the iPad Mini worth it or should you just stick with the regular iPad? Big Ken.
I think it's worth it. It depends on your usage case. Now, I have an iPad 3, which to me is fine. It works fine. I like the size. The weight and everything is okay. But there are times when I wouldn't mind to have something a slight bit smaller. So the iPad mini would fit that bill. Okay, but I'm not rushing out to go get it because I'm cool with what I have now. Now, next year, I expect them to probably put in the Retina display in that model. So then I may consider it then. But it's a good tablet. It depends on what you use it for. If you're the type of cat that reads a lot of books and stuff like that, or you carry it with you everywhere, you want ultra portability, then the iPad mini would give you the same benefit that some of the smaller Google tablets will give you, because it's small, much lighter. And as far as I know, they're using the same build process on these iPad minis that they did on the iPhone 5. And there's a drastic weight difference between the iPhone 5 and the previous versions. I mean, it's like half, it weighs about half as much. So from what I've read, it's about the same thing with this new iPad mini. So I think it's a good deal. Depends on, you know, your usage case.
All right. Q-Storm, what's your take?
Well, let me just say, I'm one to eat crow, and I'll do it right on this. I'll do it on this podcast. I'm going to bow down to Big Ken.
What?
And he knows what I'm talking about.
No, you ain't got to do that. You ain't got to bow down, brother. It's all good. I told you then that you was going to come around, and you came around. It's all good. Don't worry about it. Go ahead with your point.
I tell you, I have the iPad 3. They don't call it the iPad 3, but they call it, it was billed as the iPad.
Yeah.
And I keep that thing attached surgically to my palm.
Nuts?
Now, hold on, Q-Storm. Now, you know Mike is an Android dude, so he's going to... Check it out, Q. I know what he's doing. See, he's trying to set us up. He posed a question to a quote-unquote Apple head so he could get a jab in.
Okay?
So just guard your grill, keep your head on a swivel when you're asking these questions. Because Mike gonna try to get you.
All right. But real quick, I would say briefly, I say the only reason you buy the iPad mini is because you either don't have a tablet and you want to get into the market, and you want to hop on the Apple bandwagon because this comes in at a lower price point. Other than that, I'm all about the real estate. I use my iPad every day because I have this new job that takes me to New Jersey. I have an apartment in New Jersey, and the guy I'm rooming with does not have cable or DirecTV. He doesn't have any incoming TV signal, and it doesn't matter. With this iPad I have, the screen I have, I'm watching Hulu, HBO Go, Netflix. I want the real estate. So, I mean, the only reason I can see Apple doing this is to get into that smaller market at a lower price point to bring more people into the iPad. So if you already have an iPad, me personally, I don't see why you'd buy this unless it has some new features or something like that. But it makes sense for people who are looking at that price point of $499 for the regular size one and they're saying that's too much. They can now get into the iPad market with this mini.
Okay. Now, let me throw this in here. And I know I've touted Android before, but I actually am not tied to Android, honestly. But you brought up a great point. Price. You know, I've been looking online. I was looking at the iPad mini, and I've been watching the comments. And a lot of people commented about the price of the iPad mini versus the price of the other 7-inch tablets, you know, like say the Kindle or the Nexus 7 or whatever. Like I think the iPad mini is what, $329?
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that the Kindle is like $199, I want to say. Like, what is the major price difference?
But check it out. I can answer that. I'm actually glad that you brought this question up, okay. Because here's the deal, man. This is what I tell people all the time, man. Apple's model is different than the way Microsoft runs it, and it's vastly different than Amazon's model and Google's model. Okay, Amazon's model is they're going to sell you a tablet at the lowest price that they can sell you, $199 or even less if they can. They'll take a loss on those tablets, and they did take losses. They just reported their last earnings. They took big losses. But to them, that's okay because they're hoping to get you into the Amazon ecosystem. They're going to make their money off of you buying medium, books, right. music, that type of thing, Kindle books, that type of thing. That's their model.
Right.
Apple's model is completely the opposite. Apple's model has always been they make the money on the hardware. They don't make that much loot off iTunes and App Store. They make some money off that, but the money is made off of selling hardware. Okay, and so because of that, they're going to have high margins on their hardware.
Okay, let me ask you the question.
Hold on.
As a consumer,
as a consumer,
why do I care about that?
You don't. You may or may not care, but here's the reason why you might care. If you're, it depends on the type of consumer you are. Because I tell people all the time, man, Apple is not in the business of playing down to the competition in terms of price. In other words, they are never. If you look at their history, and QStorm knows this. Right. You look at their history. They do not compete in the cheap market. They're not going to go make a tablet just because Google or whoever, Samsung or whatever, makes a tablet and advertises for $199. Apple is not going to go and try to put a $199 tablet out.
Okay.
What they're going to do is Apple is like is a specialty brand, say like Louis Vuitton, like Mercedes, sure. like BMW, okay. like Lexus, and a few other brands, Bose, Denon, for the stereo
Understood.
They are going to price it at what they feel is worthy of the quality, and that's it. You're not going to get no discounts. They're not going to try to go sell, and they know that there's going to be a certain brand of customer who, like I say, like myself, who place value on that quote-unquote perceived quality, and so we'll pay that.
Now you just said an interesting thing right there. You said perceived quality, and that's what I'm just asking you. And you've explained why they priced their way, and we understand that now.
Right.
So let's just take a person who is not like us. They want to get a tablet, and you got the iPad Mini, you've got the Kindle Fire, what's else? You got the Google one, I guess. And even the Nook. You can throw the Nook in there,
Nexus,
too, right?
The Nook. And you're right.
Value, but what is the real value for a customer to spend
I can't answer that. I can't answer that for any general consumer. That consumer has to figure that out for themselves, okay? In other words, I know people, like, for example, the people I work with. I know a guy I'm thinking of right now that I work with. He is a guy that is always has been very thrifty. He's going to always go for the cheapest model or whatever, right? That's fine. So he might be interested in a tablet. He might say, oh, well, this is $329, but this is $199. Bucket. I'm going to the $199. And that's fine. That may work for him.
Okay. But is he getting less of a product on either one of them? I guess is my question.
From my vantage point, it depends. It depends on whether you want to be a part of that Apple ecosystem or do you want to be part of the Amazon ecosystem or Google ecosystem.
Okay, and that's
cool.
If they don't know anything about that, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but then again, chances are, though, Mike, a lot of people that's going to be buying those tablets, they will know something about that because they're going to go off of what they see in the media, they're going to go off of what they hear is the best seller. They're going to go off people's personal opinion.
Okay.
Anybody that come around me, if they ask me, should they buy a Kindle or should they buy an iPad, I'm going to tell them all day long to go buy an iPad. Why? Right. Because I've had nothing but positive experiences with Apple hardware ever since I've been buying Apple hardware. And I personally sold probably 20 iPads to people that I know. I mean, in terms of directing them to that. Okay, so that's an open-ended question, man. I mean, for me, perceived quality, it depends on the person, man. It depends on what they value. Some people, it's all about price. For others, it's quality. For me, always been the type of cat, I'm going to get what I want to get, right? If the tablet is $499 and there's another one that's $299, I'm not going to just go get the $299 because it's cheaper, because if I get it, the whole time I'll have it, I'll be thinking to myself, damn, I wish I would have got the one I want.
Right. Well, of course, you make a well-rounded decision when you go buy something. You wouldn't just go by the price only. There's a lot of factors.
But there's a lot of people. You're right, though. There's a lot of people, dude, that's all they look at. All they look at is price.
Sure.
Right? And
I understand.
I mean, there's people I've seen go to Toys R Us, man. I was at Toys R Us doing a little early Christmas shopping for my kids, and there was one lady in there talking about, I need the tablet. Okay, and the salesperson pointed her not to a Samsung or to a Nook, but to some little cheap ass Toys R Us, Kobe, some little,
I've
who
seen
knows,
those. Hey, yeah.
Brand, $20.
Yeah.
But she thought that was the business. So it just depends, man.
Q-Storm, you were going to try and say something?
No, I mean, Big Ken pretty much said it. It's like, I look at it like this. You buy an iPad because for a couple of reasons. A little bit of it is ego and vanity. You're buying a product that has withstood the test of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen tablets come and go. I mean, everyone knows how I feel about Apple now. I'm not the sunny, bright guy of Apple that I used to be in the past. However, when it comes to some of their products, like the iPad, mm-hmm. I've seen other tablets come and go.
Like which ones?
I've seen, I can't even, off the top of my head, and that's proof right there that I can't think of them.
Exactly.
That's kind of proof right there.
So, hey, Q, look here, bro. I got your back. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. The other tablets are coming and going because I think they suck.
The BlackBerry.
Okay. Well, sure. I agree.
The Playbook.
Yep, that's one.
The Samsung Galaxy Tab, was that one of them?
Those are still selling today.
I'm
not saying in top sellers.
Check it out. We ain't heard NAS sales number for any Kindle. We haven't heard no sales numbers for no Samsung. Right. We haven't heard no sales numbers for Microsoft either. Why? Because they ain't telling them.
Well, I agree. I'm not saying who's the hottest seller. You said they were leaving. I was just wondering what they meant.
What we hear all
leaving.
The time is market share. Okay, right. Samsung has the market share. Market share just means what they put out in the market. It don't mean what they sell.
Okay, let's be clear. I have nothing against the iPad. It's probably the biggest selling one out there, I would imagine, right? It's the biggest, the one in the game.
Yeah.
No, hands down, there's no question about that. I'm just asking the question in terms of, like, why is it... Now, you've broken down why it's priced that way. I think Q-Storm made some great points as well. And there is a lot of that. Hey, I got my iPad.
Well, let me interject this right quick.
Okay.
Q-Storm did say one thing I disagree with. Now, there may be some people out there that buy Apple products, be it iPads or what have you, for status.
I know a lot of those people, just to be clear.
I know maybe a couple, but most people I know... No, I didn't get into Apple products for status. I didn't buy an iPad or a Mac for status. I bought it because I was genuinely interested in the hardware. Now, after I got to the hardware, even before I started buying that, I've been using iTunes, my whole, man, I got terabytes of music and movies and stuff I've been collecting for the last 20, 30 years, man. That stuff has been managed when it was on PC.
Right, right.
With iTunes. So for me, the decision was easy. Why would I even consider a Samsung or anybody else's tablet when I know what I need to use, the media and music and everything else that I need to use will work with, you know, every system that I have? But to me, it's a no-brainer. But you're right. There's some people that do just buy it on status, but I don't think that's as prevalent.
I think that probably speaks more so to, like, the iPhone is a very status sort of a driven product. And not to say that's not a great phone and one of the best. I'm just saying I know a lot of people that I know who are not tech related at all, but they'll break their backs to say that they got an iPhone even though they ain't never had one. And you'd be like, well, why you want to get the iPhone 5? Oh, I just got to get it. I can get that. You know, gotta have that new stuff. That's just how we do.
Hey, Mike. Can I throw this in real quick?
Of course.
I'm gonna say also, I don't know if Big Ken's gonna agree with me. I think the marketing has a lot to do with it too. You look at an iPad commercial. It's usually just a plain white background, the product, and someone manipulating the product. And the copy is very simple: iPad 3, iPad 2, connect to iTunes, do this, do that, think different, or whatever. Okay. You look at the ads for these other products, and I'm sitting there. It's like I gotta see the ad 3 times to see what the thing does. And how you connect with it. I think they
don't ever show you what the thing does. You look at the ads for this Microsoft Surface now. The only thing I can get from the ads is that they are very proud of the clicking noise that their little keyboard makes when it connects to.
And let's get into
connect
that.
Connect to the thing.
Sure, let's get into that because I'm actually very interested in these Windows 8. And I actually went and looked at one of these tablets because I was like, what is this interface? This stuff looks crazy. So I'm very curious, what is your guys' take? I don't know if you've ever used Windows 8 yet. Go ahead.
My take is, again, this is another example that shows the vastly different strategies that Apple uses versus somebody else. Now, Apple's strategy is that, look, certain things work better on a tablet, and there's certain usage for your Mac or your PC, and they should be separate devices. Whereas Windows 8, man, kind of confuses me slightly, man, because first of all, they got like 50 different versions of the thing, okay? And then it's like you can't, it's like they want to put this whole Metro interface on it for touch, okay? Mm-hmm. But then they're trying to seamlessly blend that into still being able to do the desktop stuff. Now, I went to Best Buy with a couple buddies of mine at lunch, after lunch the other day, and one of my buddies was looking, considering getting, a Windows 8 PC. So the Best Buy guy was giving us a little demonstration of Windows 8, and he kept fiddling around with the Metro interface until eventually he just got frustrated and broke down. And like he was trying to say, well, like if you pull down this way on the screen, right, you can do this. But then he said, in all honesty, it would be just easier to just do it with the mouse. So I'm not really sure that Windows 8, at least in this first iteration, is going to resonate well with the general consumer, meaning there's going to be a lot of people that are happy with Windows 7, and Windows 7 is a very decent operating system. So I don't know how many people are really going to be up to just upgrade that, because this is going to be a big paradigm shift to try to go from what Windows has been. And so now you go into this whole thing, and then you got Windows RT versus Windows whatever. And it's like, to me, their whole strategy is kind of jumbled, because they're trying to push this Metro interface because they're trying to get a push into the mobile market, which they don't have right now. And so that's why it's so big. But
I'll make it even simpler than that. I read within the last couple of days, I read in USA Today, Windows 8 receives limited acceptance or something like that, a lukewarm response. So there you have it. I don't have any impressions on it. I just know what I read.
I mean, let's put it this way, Mike. Let's put it this way, Mike. Look, it's gonna sell to a degree, obviously, because anybody that goes out and buys a new PC from this point forward, it's gonna be there.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, with Microsoft as a whole, and I'm not dissing, I'm not trying to be funny and like that. We're just stating fact, and you can look this up. You ain't gotta take my word for it. Windows as a whole, Microsoft, I should say, as a whole, is in trouble. Okay, because they've let the ball slip on a lot of things. They have no presence in the mobile market. It's either Android or iOS. Nobody gives a shit about Windows Phone. They ain't selling. This merger with Nokia ain't working. Okay, and so now they're late to the tablet market. They give keynotes to try to introduce the tablet. They don't even have a working demo on stage. They don't let any of the press see or touch or do anything with them because they ain't working. And then they just release them. I mean, their whole strategy is backwards. And here's the problem, Mike. Windows 8, yeah, they're going to drop that. But how many companies do you think are going to go, their IT departments are going to go change what they got? My company is still, to this day, using Windows XP. They refuse to even go to Windows 7 because of too much hassle to change all the tools and everything. So companies ain't going to be mass upgrading to Windows 8. If you're an average consumer,
it'd be interesting because, again, you do have that desktop. You do have the desktop option to use that. I think they were smart to leave that in because.
Right, but I'm saying their money is going to come from upgrades. So if the average consumer is happy with Windows XP or even Windows 7, it's going to be a hard sell to get that person to upgrade, to learn, especially an upgrade this drastic of a change. So unless you go, their main money is going to come from them selling more PCs.
Well, they've I'm just looking it up as you're speaking. They've sold 4 million upgrades so far, which is
But the iPhone sold 2 or 3 million of them in like 3 hours. That's my point.
Totally different. I mean, we're talking about iPhone.
I understand. But what I'm saying, let's put it in the real context. They got to post that number in the media and say, yeah, we sold 4 million licenses. But look at the market share of what Microsoft is. That number is minuscule if you take the full thing. Microsoft is behind.
I'm not saying they're selling a lot. I'm just saying they've done.
Don't think they ain't. Don't think they're not. Microsoft's in trouble and they know it. This whole Windows 8 Surface, Windows 8 phone, this thing is hinged. This got to work.
You think they're doomed if this doesn't work?
I'm sorry?
Do you think they're doomed if this doesn't work?
No, I'm not saying that they're doomed, but they're losing market share, Mike.
Oh, of course.
PC sales have dropped because of what you said earlier. People are buying iPads, Samsung Galaxy Notes. They're buying tablets. They're buying mobiles. That's where the money is going. People aren't buying PCs like they used to because these tablets are so powerful now. You can do most of what most people do on PCs on those.
Right.
And they don't have a foothold in that market. They don't have a foothold in the mobile market either. They sat idly by when the iPhone was introduced and they laughed at it and said, oh, it's not going to do nothing, just like RIM did. And you see where RIM is now. So I'm not saying Microsoft is going to go down the tubes. They still got Office and they still got Xbox, you know, and those are a big, big products. But I'm saying as a whole, they're not happy because they don't have any presence in mobile and they have no presence in the tablet space right now. And it's going to be a hard sell. Because just for what Q-Storm just said, the reviews of the Surface ain't been good.
Okay, we haven't heard from Big Sexy and Sack in probably about 30 minutes. Sir, are you still with us?
I'm with you guys, but, you know, I don't own a tablet. And on the whole Windows 8 front, I am very satisfied with Windows 7. And since I don't own a tablet, I don't see the need for me to upgrade at all. Now, having owned an iPhone in the past, you know, it was cool. But I prefer my Samsung Galaxy S3 all day over that iPhone. That's just, you know, one user's opinion.
Okay, you got an S3, huh? All right. I've seen those phones. They're pretty cool.
I will say this, though, the new marketing campaign for particularly the Samsung Galaxy, was the Galaxy 3? It's pretty brilliant at playing off of the failings. I'm saying failings lightly. The failings.
That ain't brilliant. That's bullshit, man. Look, man.
Can he talk? Let him finish. Let him finish his point first.
Mike, you open Pandora's box. You got to be.
I know, but can you let him talk?
Okay, but check it out. You guys remember wow. The, and I know Q-Storm, you remember the Mac versus PC ads back in a few years back, right?
But those were,
you remember the Mac versus PC, you know, hello, I'm a Mac, I'm a PC, those series of ads. Okay, the difference between what Samsung is doing and their ads and what Apple did in those, Apple, they tried to convince you why you should switch to Mac, okay? But they didn't do it in a derogatory tone to folks that already had a PC. So the commercials didn't say that, okay, you're a PC, you know, you're your PC, but you're a PC user, so you must be stupid for you doing a PC. These Samsung ads, I get what they're trying to do. They're aiming them at Mike's Android crowd.
Okay, hold on. Slow down one second.
They want to paint the Apple user as Ken,
can you hear me?
We don't know, and all this and that. So
please,
they're not building their customer base up because they, as Ken, an Apple user, why should I even consider a Samsung product?
Ken, slow down for a second because for what you say to make sense, we got to know what the commercial is because I don't know what the commercial is about. So can you finish explaining what it is?
You've seen them. They show them every five minutes.
Again, I don't have cable, Ken, so I have not seen them. So can you please?
You haven't seen the Lion commercials?
I don't have TV. I don't have cable, so I don't see.
There's one commercial that I do like. I think it's brilliant, where these two guys are talking about sharing a playlist, and they're in front of the iPhone line,
and they're talking about their app that's been out for like six years.
Come on, Ken, chill.
Ken, that's the bump app, dog.
That bump, I gotta be real with you.
How often are you honestly are going to be walking outside? See, you just said it earlier. Apple's commercials show you a product, and they show you they don't pinpoint other stuff. They just show you how you use it, what you can do with it, where to get it, what the name of it is. That's it. These Samsung commercials, they don't have many other features because these Galaxy phones, and come on, let's break it down. Let's be really real. Samsung, they damn near copied every fucking thing they can from Apple. So they don't have many features other than this little bump app that's not even going to really be used. And come on, everyday dude, are you really going to sit down in the middle of the street and say, yo, dude, let's transfer a video doing your little bump?
Can we slow down for 1 second? Because you said bump app, and I don't know what that is. What is the bump app?
Okay,
there's an application that's been out for like the last 4 years called Bump. That's available every platform, Android, Apple, iOS, BlackBerry. And what this app does is that if you If you and I are next to each other, Mike, and you got your phone and I got my phone, and you say, hey, Ken, I want Q-Storm's contact information, then if we both got this little bump app, we can literally bump phone and transfer a contact over that way. That's a nice little cute app. That app has been out forever, but that's what I'm saying. Samsung is marketing that as a key feature.
But with the Samsung app, apparently you can share more than just contact info.
You can do the same thing with the bump app. Look, check it out. There's another commercial. There's another commercial they have now where this guy is getting ready to go on a business trip. His wife and two daughters, hey, daddy, we made a video for you to take on the plane, the daughters say. So the mom takes the phone, she bumps it up against the guy's Samsung phone. Okay, thanks. And then the wife puts her head to the car and says, hey, I made another video, meaning she made a dirty video for you too. Bump the phone. Don't watch that on the plane. Real cute, nice. But again, that's an old feature. Look, the only difference between those Samsung phones and the iPhone is that they're bigger. That's it. The screen is bigger. There's no feature. Siri, S voice on the Galaxy. Galaxy still using a fucking stylus, but they call it the S Pen. We were using styluses back with the Palm Pilot 20 years ago.
All right, Ken.
I'm just saying, bro. You open the box.
I know. We gotta let somebody else speak.
I'm just being real with you, man.
I know you are, and we gotta let somebody else speak. We gotta let other people speak. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, listen, Ken. I love you, man. But I would say this. I mean, I can at least see the flaws in. I can balance it out, bro.
Look, Apple's not perfect. They have flaws. I agree with you. No company is perfect. But here's my issue. My issue, and it's real simple and plain, man. Look, let me give you an example. Say you make Q-Storm, your business out there, Q-Storm cookie. You make these nice little circular cookies that are black, that have a white arrow and cream that's pointed up. And you selling these cookies, and everybody loves these cookies. Q-Storm cookies is the bomb. Q-Storm cookies is the shit. So here I am. I'm a supplier of dough for you to make these cookies. I'm the supplier of the cream. And I say, yo, I want to get some of that money that Q-Storm makes. So I'm going to go out now, and I'm going to make canned cookies. I'm going to make the cookies white with a black arrow pointing up, and I'm going to call them canned cookies with the S cream on them. And I'm going to make commercials and say that you whack if you like Q-Storm cookies, and I'm going to go out there and say, well, I innovated because I came up with this new style when I really bit off of your style. Now, if I went out there and did that and got paid, you would be pissed.
But that's the game.
That's the game, but what, you're right. You're absolutely right. That's the game. But now people are all on Apple ship and say, oh, Apple's foul. They're trying to stifle innovation. What the hell? If I make up something, if I created something, and let's be real, and you know, Mike, Apple changed the game with the phones in 2007 when they dropped the iPhone. They changed the whole game.
They did.
I ain't saying they own everything, but they changed the game. Yo, man, look, all I'm saying is call a spade, man. Get a credit where it's due. You can say you're using the tech, but don't come out saying that you invented the tech, that you innovating. When you copying everything in there, Apple iPhones come with white USB cables with a little logo on it, and you got yours black. With the little logo. I mean, come on, man.
And you actually brought up something I wanted to ask you about. And I want to ask somebody. So you brought up something. That whole thing with Apple suing, getting the injunctions on Google or Samsung, whatever. Listen, Apple's dope. And I agree with what you said. They created it. But that's some corny stuff. Like, I don't care if the dude sat on the board of Apple. It don't matter. That shit is corny. To a consumer is corny because, look, even if they got the right stripe, whatever, like you said, well, so what? Then you better come with something else. But you stopping somebody else from getting money?
That's it. They do come with something else.
I know, but you stopping somebody else from coming.
The MacBook Air is out. Right. Now all of a sudden you're seeing everybody come out with these quote-unquote Chromebooks.
Good.
That look exactly like MacBook Air.
That's cool.
Samsung has the nerve to put out a little black box that's exactly like the fucking Mac Mini. I mean, down to the shape, the color.
Market. But thing is, when you say, when you say that you can't put your stuff out because it looked like mine and you stop in the game. I know, but I hear what you're saying, but I'm just saying.
That's whack though, bro. But check it out. You're right. You're right. To the consumer, it might be whack. But yo, what? But any company worth their weight in salt is going to try to protect their intellectual property. And big thanks to you, attorney, you know this.
But still. It just don't. It looks like to me. It looks desperate for a company of that stature to have to stoop to that level. Because if you really respected what you're doing, can I finish what I'm saying, sir?
It's not desperate, Mike. They already went through this shit with Windows in the '90s. That they're not gonna let it happen again.
Can I finish?
They're not gonna let it happen again. So that's why they like yo thermonuclear dog.
Okay.
We gonna go to war. You wanna go to war?
I feel like I'm can't speak. Okay. All right.
Apple was 90 days of bankruptcy when that shit went down. They're not going to go back to that no more. They were 90 days of bankruptcy in 92. Now they own more than two-thirds of the planet. I mean, they are worth more than two-thirds of the planet. The iPhone by itself is worth more than Google and Microsoft combined.
Okay.
They ain't about to let that shit happen again. So they, regardless of what the customer may think, you may think it's corny or whatever, just the game, it's the game, dog. Fuck that. This is billions at stake. They are not about to let that happen no more. So I don't blame them one bit. But all I'm saying is, cool, Samsung can do what they want to do. They can make that. I'm all for free enterprise and capitalism, make the best product, cool. But I'm saying don't put it out there that your Galaxy S3 is just this new hot stuff when you just stole everything that's on it. There ain't nothing. The only difference between it and a Google Nexus 7 or an iPhone or anything else is it's got a big-ass 25-inch screen.
Okay. All right, we're gonna move past that. Ooh, we pulled the lid off of that one.
I told you, bro. This tech game, bro. I'm in it all day, every day. Hey, so
you can't bring a knife to a Ken fight.
Basically, you cannot. Last thing I gotta say about that is I agree with what you said, but let's let the people in China work without getting whipped. Next topic.
Samsung is real. I tell you.
Hey, Mike, can I bring up a topic real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Just say one thing that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I saw on Netflix that they are going back into production with Misfits.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I saw there is a trailer for season whatever it is, and all I got to say is I'm not going to really be watching it because the only reason I say that, all new characters... Except for the black guy. I haven't seen the latest episodes or the last season, so I don't know if they all died at the end. But that trailer for the new season does not feature anybody from the show except for that black dude, and everybody else is brand new. So I don't know about that, man.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, there is a trailer out for the new season.
All right.
I gotta track that down.
All right. I think we've exhausted ourselves for this evening.
Wait.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
You mentioned at the top of the podcast, we're going to talk about Prince. There was a slight update I want to share with you guys. Q knows about this, but Sunday night, this past Sunday night, Andy Allo was going to play here in Sacramento. I had tickets. I was ready to make my move, get some backstage interviews, and then they canceled on Saturday, so I didn't get shit.
Wow.
I tried. I was in the house. I was ready to go. I was already, you know, elbowing with the owner of the club, and people were speculating that you know who was going to show up. I'm like, if he's going to be there, I'm going to be prepared to go. At the very least, I want to talk to Andy about our album, but she got, from what I understand, she got like a throat issue, and they had to cancel the show. So, damn.
There was, I'm glad you brought that up. I believe it was on the African channel or something like this.
Yeah.
Did she have a concert that came on TV last night or something like that?
You know, I don't get that channel, but I've seen clips of it on the Debang 319 website.
Yeah, okay, that's where I saw it. Yeah. So, well, here we go. I'm going to start with, we're going to go over there again. We're not talking about Apple, we're talking about Prince. Big Ken, give me your honest opinion of what you've heard and seen so far. What do you think of Andy Allo?
Well, okay, check it out. People pleaser, you know, the cut, people pleaser, right? It's, yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's funky, it's pretty cool. I'm not sure yet about Andy Allo, man. I mean, my thing is, what's the difference between her and Tamar and Bria Valente? And, you know, I mean, how do we, I mean, I don't see what it is other than she can play guitar, maybe. You know, so I haven't heard enough of her to really draw a serious conclusion. But he does hype her up a lot at the show that I was at. He was always, you know, giving shouts out to Andy Allo. You know, Andy Allo, y'all, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So she must be the bee's knees, man, but I don't see it. So the verdict is out for me still.
Okay. Q-Storm, what do you...
I'm not going to lie. When Ken told me that he was going to check out the show, the names rang a bell, but I have not been following her, so I can't really comment.
Okay. Big Sexy, what's your take on?
Well, I was going to hope for an opportunity to address this very topic in depth because, you know, I was planning to go to her show to see what she was about, but, you know, that didn't happen. But I'll give her this based on what little bit I know. You know, she writes her own stuff. Now, I don't know if Tamar wrote, and I don't know if Bria Valente wrote, but Andy writes. Andy is really, to me, look more like she's collaborating as opposed to being a studio puppet like Bria was. So I'm kind of curious to see. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. And on DirecTV, I think it's next month, she recorded something for their Guitar Center sessions.
Yeah.
So that way we can see, you know, up close what's happening. And if she can't pull it off, then she's got to go. But from a media standpoint, she's been very, very engaging. You know, her smile is just so beautiful. And so she's definitely saying the right things. She's playing her part. I'll give her that. But now let's to the point where, okay, we know you're cute. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But can you play? Can you sing? You know, when Prince got the new drummer, Hannah, whatever the fuck, I'm like, okay, she's fine, but can she play? That's what I want to see. And Ken, you were there. What's up, man? Can she play?
She wasn't at the show that I was at.
Oh.
No, I was at John Blackwell was playing. Mm. But I think she showed up like for the third show. But you know what about Andy Allo, though? What I'm curious to see, that's why I need to hear what she has done, okay? Because I'm curious as to how much influence Prince has over her. Because, like, People Pleaser, I don't know if you've heard Andy Allo's previous album. I forgot what the name of it is.
I heard a couple songs.
To me, the sound is totally different than what she's doing now with Prince. So
yeah, it is. Yeah.
She may be a little Prince-ified right now. You know what I'm saying? So we need to, you know, for this Superconductor album to come out and really give it a good listen before I can really judge her. But, yeah, she seems nice. I know she can play guitar. She played pretty good at the show that I was at.
I have yet to hear the whole guitar part. It's never really spotlighted the times that I've witnessed it. It's always dead in the, you know, so far in the mix. I don't really know what's going on, so I'm very curious.
And at the show that I was at, it wasn't like she was featured, so to speak. She, you know, if you picture the stage with the cymbal, the circle part is where the band was. She more or less stayed in that section right there. You know, now a couple of songs he brought her out. She sang a couple of background verses with Shelby and the other girls, and you know, did that. But he didn't feature her per se, like in the show where she had, you know, and yeah, you know, he would mention her name, but that was about it.
No, there's been no solo. Where's like the solo spotlight? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, she didn't get that.
Well, she got a little bit of it, but not much, man, because the sound that night was kind of jacked up. Because that was the reason why Prince didn't play a lot of guitar that first night, because he would try to play it and the sound, you know, the sound was screwed up.
I mean, he
was playing Purple Rain, man, and then he pulled the guitar out and tried to play some guitar, and the sound was all fucked up. He just threw the guitar back and had the saxophone player play the solo. That's how bad the sound was. So, you know, I heard that he ended up firing the sound man or something before the second show.
Oh, well.
I remember when Tony M used to play guitar in the band.
Oh, God. No.
I'm just saying.
Yo, man. Yo, Tony M is the Samsung of rappers, man.
can we get out of the tablet talk, please?
That's right. I'm going to get the last word in. Tony M is the Samsung of rappers.
Oh, Lord.
And T.C. Ellis is the Microsoft Surface.
Wow.
There.
So what else? I'm just looking here. Andre Simone has, you know, started to make his return to the game. He had that song America that he did with the proceeds going to the Obama campaign. And he was actually also on, I don't know if you guys heard, he was on Afro Nerd a couple weeks ago. It was a pretty cool interview. But I see he recently jumped on stage with Prince a few days ago here. It was the Sawyers Club show. It was on the 25th, and they did the Dance Electric together.
Whoa. Speaking of that, did y'all see the Jimmy Kimmel?
I did. Movement? I thought that was good.
He turned it out.
But it was too short. They cut it off.
Well, did you see the whole, somebody filmed the whole mini concert. Did you chance to see that?
Yeah, I mean, I caught the, well, actually, you know, well, we ain't gonna, you know, show no locations, but it's out there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, that was, I thought that was dope. Like, whoa.
Yeah, the Dance Electric was pretty funky.
The whole, I wasn't really into the Dance Electric performance, maybe because I didn't see enough of it, but I really enjoyed the cool Michael Jackson thing.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he did that the whole three shows that he was here in Chicago.
Okay, that was amazing.
And like, my show, that version of Cool, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, must have lasted like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was on point right there. I was impressed. What do you guys, you know, wrap it up? What about the rock and roll love affair?
I still like it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Kind of got a slight Take Me With You vibe to a degree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Is it going to be on a new album, though? That's what I want to know.
That's the question. Is there going to be a new album?
Is there a new album? Exactly.
Yeah, that's all I want to know. He releasing a single. Well, usually a single comes off an album.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, he's dropped a lot of little songs over the last couple of years with no sort of nothing follow-up. I did notice that the 21 Nights DVD has leaked out there. I don't know if you guys saw that yet.
Yes, it did, and yes, I have it.
How was it?
You know, it's very well done. I haven't really given it the critical viewing yet, but I want to see how it was shot. And it shot kind of like... You guys have seen the Sacrifice of Victor home video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of shot like that. That's what I thought of when I watched some of it. But also, there's a HOS-02 soundboard recording.
I see that, yeah.
That's the one. Whoever recorded it and EQ'd that, they did the hell out of it.
Okay.
That's the new reference piece to me. I love that
one. All right. So hopefully we will get some new album out of Prince, I hope. I will admit I am really loving the older material that seems to leak every once in a while. You know, we did the first part of the Perfect unreleased, we had get the second, but I mean, there's been, you know, me and Ken were talking about what's the name of that song,
you're talking about from the Flesh Sessions,
A Couple of Miles.
Yeah, A Couple of Miles.
It's leaked out, and yeah, that's from the Flesh Sessions, as you said. That's just amazing. I hope more of that comes out. It's a shame that he's not able to put that stuff out on his own, but you know, it is what it is. Still touring, so that's good. I almost kind of think, like, man, he might just be kind of really done, like, in terms of putting out new stuff, because I don't know, just the songs that he puts out are cool, but they're not really talking about nothing. It's just kind of like stuff that he could do in his sleep. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. It's just, I don't know, is he holding back all his good stuff?
I think he's holding back because he said a few years ago that until there's a better model in place, he's going to refrain from doing it. So once there's a model in place that is to his satisfaction, I'm sure he's going to lock himself in Paisley Park and just go bananas. Now, of course, me being the eternal optimist, I would hope he would lock himself up with Wendy and Lisa and just do a triple album of just brilliance, but that's not going to happen. But I'm sure he'll go back in the studio and put it all together.
You know what, man? Based on that, I don't think we're going to hear from him again then. Because that model that he's talked about, it's not going to change, man.
No, the
digital age is here. The age of instant on demand, you know, cats want what they want when they want it. you know, that's here, man. I mean, it's here to stay. So if he doesn't adapt to that, then if he's just going to hold his material hostage, then that just might be what it is.
And which is, you know, it's odd if he thinks that way. Why would he put out the NDA law, or why would he even do that then? I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't just make sense to me, man. But, you know, it's his stuff, man. He's entitled to do what he wants.
Yeah, very true. All right, anything else before we wrap this thing up? Last call for alcohol.
I think we covered it all in this hour-long show.
All right, and we'll just... a little jabby jab there. We're gonna go around the room. You can only be one answer. It's one or the other. It's a multiple choice. Big Ken, yo. Romney or Obama? Which one?
Come on, man. Vote O all day.
Okay. All right. I respect either way. Big Ken. I'm sorry. Q Storm.
Well, I don't want to act like just because I'm black, I got to vote for Obama. But I just can't. I can't get with the Republican Party nowadays. So I got to go Obama. Give the man another 4 years to make a difference.
All right. Big Sexy and Sack.
I got to agree with Q. You got to give the guy a shot to finish what he has undertaken. On top of it, you know, I'm not, you know, waist deep in a lot of the political, you know, debates back and forth. I do enjoy the postings from Q and from John Mark. They both come from, like, extreme, not extreme, but definitely differing viewpoints. And one thing I have to crack Republicans on is their treatment of women, man. I ain't with it. That's not cool. And plus, Ryan went to this soup kitchen and staged some phony press photos. Nah, man, that's just slimy, man. That's not cool.
Wow.
If people really come out and vote, man, Romney, Ryan, man, they don't have any of the middle class interests at heart. And so if you know if that's the case, that anybody that's not in the middle class, they can't get to the middle class, you know they don't give a shit about them. I don't know, man. I just think if they get elected, we just gonna regress.
Well, I'm gonna stand with my baby Stacey Dash. No, I'm just joking.
They just stood up, took a side, and got shit for it. That is not cool either.
Yeah, that isn't actually. It's not. I'm gonna vote Obama. And you're right. She shouldn't be. Nobody should be persecuted for their choice.
I mean, the way people vilified her is like, come on, man. It's her opinion, and it's her constitutional right to vote whoever the fuck she wants to vote for.
And I think a lot of that is not all based on that voting. I think there's just people, you know, I think it's black people that vilified her, and I just think it speaks to some other issues.
You know, I said this on Afro Nerd. I'll say it again, goddamn it. That's right. Anytime somebody, quote unquote, leaves the hive mind of the Borg or leaves the plantation and shows some independent thought, black folks will turn on them in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yep. And with that, I say thank you to Big Ken, his passion and his knowledge of all things Apple and Samsung.
Hey, man, just say this, man. Look, I apologize for getting too worked up. I love technology, man. It's not just Apple. Technology in general, I love it. Okay. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I read up on this stuff daily, so I do get a little passionate. So my apologies out there to anybody that I may have offended or turned off with my pro-Apple love. Well, but shit ain't gonna change, knuckle. Wow. Take your Samsung, Microsoft, Google shit and shove it.
Wow. I'll say this much. You could have a hell of a tech podcast.
Trust me, I've thought about it.
You should do it.
Because I'll be the, hey man, if I get a tech podcast, I'll be the cuss Leo Laporte out by
then. Oh, no, why you gonna get on Leo, man?
Man, fuck Leo Laporte, man. Okay, he has this little Mac Break weekly show. I can't even listen to that no more, man, because all he does now, ever since he bought one of them Google phones 2-3 years ago, he's so in love with it that all he do is shit on Apple. And that's fine, that's cool. We'll do that on the Google show. I don't want to hear that. So, man, don't let me get on the mic, bro. It's over.
People
I started to have
stocks on them next door. Uh-oh. People you can trust. All right, we'll leave Twitter alone. Big Sexy and Sack, thank you, sir, coming through.
Hey, I had to get off the deathbed to spend time with my brothers. Definitely, you know, time well spent.
Oh, you've not been feeling well?
Man, you know, I ate something last night, and I think I figured it out in my infinite wisdom. Me and Patty, you know, made some nachos, and it's one of those times where you ruffle through the refrigerator, you make stuff, and we wolfed it all down. And of course, since I'm, you know, huge, I ate more than she did. Then I looked at the sour cream container. I'm like, I don't remember buying this. I looked at the expiration date. It said August 12th. Oh. I'm like, oh no,
man.
Wow. I'm going to be paying for this soon. And sure enough, right around 4 a.m., I started paying for it. And until about 5 o'clock, I just was not feeling it. But, you know, I got it together. I was going to do the podcast regardless, but now I'm up and around feeling a little better. I was supposed to go to a bar association thing tonight, but that just was not going to happen.
Oh, man. That's crazy. You got to watch the expiration dates.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And Mr. Q-Storm for actually setting this whole thing up and getting everybody together. So definitely respect you and love you for that. Any last thing, sir?
Mike, I just want to say real quick, the reason I did that because, I mean, when I was just listening to you, looking at your post on Facebook, listen, I'm not ashamed to say this shit out loud. It brought tears to my eyes, bro. Oh. I can't imagine that. And I just hope it's I'm not going to get into your business. I hope it's a temporary thing. You know, we've never met each other in person. I don't have to meet you to know what it's like to go through that. And it touched me, man. And I just wanted to relieve a little bit. If a couple of hours, an hour or whatever, just relieve a little bit of that burden you were going through, bro.
Well, I will tell you, mission accomplished. Thank
and
you.
Q Storm like Alexander O'Neal, boy, all true man. That's what his emotions. You gone. I love it.
Hilarious. No, I feel you. And thank you, man. Again, it was much needed. I'm good, man. I'm going to do a place in this world and speak on all that. This ain't the place for it, but I appreciate it, definitely. With that, yes, we're going to be back on the mic. Me and Toya are going to get back on the mic here Sunday. So we're going to definitely keep things rolling. And it's all good stuff, and it's only going to get better. That's the way I look at it. So I'm going to take us out with, I don't even know this gentleman's name, but I hope I have as much courage as this guy does at his age. He is an older gentleman, probably in his 60s, late 60s. He's got access to the internet, and he's keeping it gangster. So we're going to take it out.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell, know what I'm saying? Mr. Buster, where the fuck you at? Can't stop a lick, so I know you got your gap. Your dick on hard, you're fucking your road dogs. Hood you threw up, niggas you grew up with. Don't ever respect your ass, that's why time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga. Used to be my homie, used to be my ace. Now I wanna slap the taste out your mouth, cause you make dial down to the road. Fuck with me, now I'm fucking you, little hoe. Oh, don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride. Just another homicide. Yeah, it's me. So I'm talking on stopping on the easiest streets. If you walk on, strap on your cop and hat, your dogs and watch your back, cause you might get smoke blow and pass the buck and stay low key. Be key, cause you lost all your homies' love. Now call what you want to. You fuck with me, now it's a must I fuck with you. Yeah, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. You have your motherfucking record copy surrounded. Put the candy and let the little boy go. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Dick the doggies in the motherfucking house. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay. That girl's in the motherfucking house. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay. The songs of a dog brings me to another day. Play with my bow, would you, Timmy? It seems like you're good for making jokes about your Jimmy. But here's Jimmy joke about your mama that you might not like. I heard She was a physical giant. Now fuck your mama. I'm talking about you and me. Toe to toe. And Tim, M-U-T. Your bark was loud, but your bite wasn't vicious. And then the rhymes you were kicking was quite bootylicious. You get with the doggy dog and we crazy. With your mama and your daddy hollering, baby. But won't they let you know that you fuck with D-Nigger and fuck with Death Row? I ain't even singing them things since we're hollering 87 with my dick in your mouth, bitch.